Today I'm in Edinburgh talking to Kenny McCaskill, who's the Scottish Justice Minister. He's a member of the Scottish National Party, which of course recently gained enough votes to be able to promise a referendum on Scottish independence within the next 5 years. Kenny McCaskill, thank you for talking to us. Now tell me first, what would Scotland gain from independence?
Well, we'd gain control over our own resources, we'd take responsibility for the problems we face in our country, and we'd be able to stand up and speak out on issues that matter to us. So it's about taking charge at home and making sure that we have a voice abroad.
And how would it work economically and socially?
Well, Scotland's a rich country. We are the largest oil and gas producer in the European Union. We not only have a bounty in terms of oil and gas, but we now have a bounty in terms of renewables. Our geography, for the first time in our history, is probably to our advantage. So we've got great potential, and the tragedy in Scotland's never been how bad things are. It's how much better things should be. And we look with envy at countries like Norway that have discovered oil and have been able to transform their economy and their society. We should have been able to do that. But our resources from oil were used by Thatcher to smash organised labour, and indeed by Tony Blair to fight an illegal war in Iraq.
Is there any idea in your mind that this might start some kind of snowball effect whereby the Welsh and the Northern Irish then want to secede from the Union as well?
That's a matter for the Welsh and the Northern Irish. We stand for election in Scotland. We represent the nation of Scotland. It's for others to decide what they may choose to do. Scotland's in a distinct and a unique position. We obviously have friendships with other parties elsewhere, but we can only comment and speak for the people of Scotland.
Do you identify with other independence movements in Europe? For example, the Flems, and I'm also thinking of less peaceful groups like the Basques and the Northern Irish. Are you worried that independence for Scotland could be an inspiration for those more violent groups?
Well, the Scottish National Party and the whole issue of nationalism in Scotland has always been peaceful. There has no truck with violence or disorder in any shape or form. So we do have friendships around Europe. Equally, we're a party of the left of centre. We want to make Scotland a better, a fairer place. We want to make sure that those who have the most contribute the most. So we look with envy and indeed friendship to Scandinavia and to political parties, not just nationalist parties, but parties of the centre-left around the globe.
What about being an inspiration for those less peaceful movements, though?
Well, again, it's for the people of those countries to decide what they want to do. We would never support or condone violence in any shape or form. Clearly, if other countries wish to pursue an agenda, then they'll get a great deal of sympathy from us, as others do. But certainly, violence would not be tolerated in any shape or form. And we've been elected with two mandates. One is to pursue our claim for an independent Scotland and the right for a referendum. Equally, we've been elected as a government to make Scotland a better place, and we seek to do that by driving our economy forward and making our country fairer, greener, safer, wealthier and healthier.
If Scotland did gain its independence, how do you see your relationship with the European Union changing? Do you not think that you would become a sort of insignificant vassal of Brussels?
Well, all countries are interdependent. No nation, no matter how large, is entirely independent. In the world in which we live, whether it's dealing with global warming, whether it's dealing with the macro economies, we're all interlinked. But what matters is whether you're represented in the institutions of power. It's only nation states that are represented in the European Union, only nation states that are represented in the United Nations. Countries such as Liechtenstein and Cyprus, Malta, they're all smaller than Scotland. They all have representation at the European Union. They can vote on matters fundamental to Scotland, even, for example, in fishing, when they don't really have any relevance to them. So we have to be a nation state to be represented so that we can argue and speak for what matters for Scotland and the European Union. And so we can also go to the United Nations and stand up for what's right and also make clear which wars are not in our name.
Do you think that you would automatically get a seat in the UN and representation in Brussels?
Well, all international law shows that we would. This is a matter we've seen dealt with in terms of European Union representation for Germany once the former East Germany became part of the new Germany. So there's our historical precedent in a variety of ways. So we think it's recognised that if the people of Scotland wish to become an independent nation, it will be recognised by governments south of the border and around the world. What matters and what has been unfair so far is that political parties in Scotland were refusing to give the people of Scotland the right to decide their own destiny in a referendum. What that outcome will be for the people of Scotland to decide. But there was something manifestly wrong, that parties were prepared to have a referendum on the voting system, but were not prepared to allow the people of Scotland to decide their constitutional future.
You mentioned the referendum on the alternative vote. That's now been sort of damned as a waste of time. Are you worried that the same might happen to a referendum on Scottish independence?
Oh, I don't think it'll be seen as a waste of time. I think when the referendum comes, it will be seized by the people of Scotland. We don't take anything for granted, but we think and we hope and expect that we will win that. I've been told throughout my lifetime that there would never be a Scottish Parliament. Now there is. I was told that there would never be a Scottish National Party of government. Yes, there is. And now there's a Scottish National Party government that's a majority government in the Scottish Parliament, when people said that could never come about because they devised a voting system to try and make sure there would never be a majority SNP government.
There's been a poll in the Sun newspaper that says that a higher percentage of English people want Scotland to have its independence than Scottish people want Scotland to have its independence. What do you say to that?
Well, I welcome that. I mean, England is a nation in its own right. It's a proud nation. I have many family and friends who either live in England or are English. The relationship between Scotland and England would improve with Scotland being an independent nation. Scots would lose perhaps some of the chip on our shoulder that does sometimes come out, and we have to address that. Some of the problems that we face in Scotland can be blamed in England. There are our own problems with alcohol abuse, sectarianism, and all these difficulties. The only people who can solve that are the Scots themselves. And I look forward to the day when Scotland and England will have a good relationship as friends, recognising our differences. But as I say, it's the British state that's the artificial entity, not Scotland and England.
If Scotland did vote yes, and I should say that that's not a given, the polls show a minority want independence for Scotland at the moment. Do you expect any problems from Westminster? After all, they're not legally obliged to let Scotland go, even if Scots do vote yes.
No, I think it's been made clear by every Prime Minister and every major political figure south of the border that if the people of Scotland vote for independence, then they will receive it. So I don't believe all these matters that are being put forward, that this won't happen or that won't happen. A referendum will take place. Nobody will stand against it. That's been made quite clear by the Prime Minister south of the border. People may naysay and suggest that we won't win that referendum. We'll see. They said we would never win into this parliament, and they thought we would never get a majority government. But if we vote yes as a people for independence, then I have no doubt that governments, not simply south of the border, but around the world, will welcome us into the family of nations, as has happened with other countries within my lifetime.
Oil and gas from the North Sea is worth around about $21 billion a year to the UK Treasury. Do you really think that they're going to just let that go without any kind of fight?
Yes, at the end of the day we keep getting told we're subsidised. One of the reasons that sometimes people in Scotland are sceptical about independence is that we're told we're too poor, we're too wee, we can't manage. And yet you've just produced a figure showing the value of the Scottish oil and gas reserves to the United Kingdom Treasury. We recognise that these are matters for negotiation, but they're matters that are fundamentally our right to make our country and our people better. Scotland and Norway discovered oil at the same time. Some areas of Scotland have been turned into an industrial desert. Norway has transformed its society and its economy. It has billions in the bank, whereas we've seen ours wasted on missiles, weapons of mass destruction and indeed illegal wars. So it's time for us to have our share of our revenues. The precise matters have to be resolved and worked out, but it's our oil and gas and it's our renewable energy.
You keep mentioning illegal wars, and I'm assuming that you're talking about Iraq, but has London's rush towards war in Libya pushed Scots further towards demanding independence?
No, I think North Africa is a different situation. The war in Iraq was illegal. It was predicated on a lie told by Tony Blair, and it has made the world a less safe place. Millions have died. The world has seen institutions that are fundamental, such as United Nations, undermined. And as I say, it has made the world a less safe place. Clearly, there are significant problems in North Africa. Life has to be protected. But I think it's important that Britain and indeed other countries should adhere to the United Nations mandate. There is a United Nations mandate to protect civilian life. There's not a United Nations mandate for regime change.
You claim sole responsibility for releasing al-Megrahi, who was convicted of the Lockerbie bombing. Given what's happened in Libya now, do you regret that decision?
No, I don't. I stand by that decision. It was a decision made following the laws of Scotland and adhering to the values and beliefs that we have here. It wasn't an easy decision, but I believe it was the correct decision.
As Justice Minister, how do you feel about the apparent impetus for the international community to rush into Libya? What do you think that says about the state of international law?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we have to protect life. We cannot have people being brutalised by Colonel Gaddafi or by anybody else. It's the obligation of the world to make sure that we don't allow Srebrenica and other things to come about. So action has to be taken. But these things, as we have to learn the lesson from Iraq, we should do it collectively as a common humanity. We should do it through the United Nations. We should adhere to their mandates. So I think we are concerned about where matters are heading, but we fully support action being taken to preserve life.
St. Petersburg is hosting an international conference on legal issues, and President Medvedev has put the application of the rule of law at the centre of his agenda. What do you think they should be concentrating on as Justice Minister at that conference?
Well, I think what we have to do is to try and restore some belief and faith. Scotland's still not represented on the international stage, and until then, you know, we allow others to do their part. We will speak up for what we believe is important to the interests of Scotland and what's right and proper. We don't seek, as I say, to direct to other countries. I think that's a matter that hopefully this will produce some good, because there are difficulties. We do have to make sure that life is preserved, not simply in North Africa, but in Africa and indeed elsewhere. So we wish President Medvedev well. We hope that matters will be worked out. I don't think it's for myself or any member of the Scottish Government to direct. We simply hope that matters will work out, and we look forward to the day when we'll be able to be represented as an independent nation and to play our part. This won't be solved by one country, whether it's the United States or Russia. Every country has to play its part, and we look forward to us playing our part. We may only be a small nation, but we're a nation with a proud history and wish to pursue our opportunity to make the world a better place.
Kenny McCaskill, thank you very much.
Thank you.